Welcome once again to the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rework Hour, brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at luckymojo.com. I'm your announcer, Pop Newt of PopNewt.com in Omaha, Nebraska, and in just a moment, we'll be joined by our co-host, Catherine Ironwood of LuckyMojo.com in Forestville, California, and Contraman of ContramanConsulting.com in Mission Viejo, California. This week, we'll be joined by a special guest from the Association of Independent Readers and Rootworkers, Lukianos of Lukianos.com in Baltimore, Maryland, bringing us today's discussion on spellcasting and the art of narrative intention. Together, they'll teach you all about the subject and provide a related free spell near the end of the program. But first, let's catch up with our co-hosts, Catherine Ironwood and Contraman. Miss Cat?
Hi. Well, today is an exciting day. We're doing so much stuff down at the station.
Right.
Putting in hanging lights today. We put in old style school room lights, and this place is starting to come together. I want to make a big shout out to Robin Riggs, our carpenter, and Nelton, our painter, and Dominic, our electrician. So we are converting a portion of an old gas station in Forestville that was built in 1929 into a reading parlor and Lucky Mojo shop for the public. And it's going to be a lot of fun. We thought we'd have it out by the, you know, broken open and break the first champagne bottle on the 2nd of January. It looks more like the 2nd of February. So taking a lot of time to get things together. But that's the only thing I have to report. Today, we have a show that I'm really looking forward to. It has a very ambiguous, non-clickbait title. The Art of the Narrative of Intention. So what does that mean? And what does that have to do with magic, hoodoo, folk magic, divination, spellcasting, and occultism? Well, we're going to turn this over to Lukianos. First, we're going to have Conjurman say hello.
Hello, I'm here.
Did you see Lukianos' notes yet, Conjurman?
I have not, but I'm refreshing my email, so I'm very
excited. Better, honey, because Lukianos is going to take us.
Oh, yes, this looks really good. I'm so excited about this topic.
Yeah, this is.
There's a element to the crafting spells that a lot of people don't realize.
Yeah, and Lukianos is going to take us on a roller coaster ride. So hello, Lukianos, and welcome back to the show.
Well, thank you so much, Miss Cat. Thank you all. It is lovely to be here with you and Contraman and Papa Newt and Nagashiva. I'm coming to you from Baltimore, Maryland, where it is wintertime. It's official. There's no question about it. Mm-hmm. But we are keeping busy. And what I'm hoping to bring to the listeners today is taking your root work from, you know, kind of the basics to making your success inevitable. And yes, that is a very big claim, but I'm going to try to provide some tools and some techniques that will make you understand why I'm actually selling it as high as I am. So,
all right.
Well, I do want to give full credit to a page on the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo site on blending hoodoo oils. Mm. If you haven't checked out this page, you need to check it out. It is a gold mine of ideas. But
yeah, thank you very much for that, because that is sort of the beginning where this started. You've taken it like six levels beyond. So let's get into it. And I'm just going to let you take it away, and we'll pitch in where you need someone else's voice. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, so let's set the stage. So in a way, we can think of any type of magical working in hoodoo or anything else. You can think of it as a story. Mm-hmm. And in this story, you're not just using words, although you should be using words, but you're also using all of the various physical components of the spell work. Those may be oils, those may be candles, lodestones, many things. And those are going to serve as a means for you to apply magical and spiritual force to move your starting situation along a desired path to your desired outcome. In most basic terms, you're moving a situation from point A to point Z. But as we all know, in moving from point A to point Z, there's usually points along the way in between. And in many cases, it's these intermediate points that we may overlook when we are just starting out. And especially because these points may need different interventions than from where we start versus where we end. By attending to these intermediate points, by evaluating what needs to be done in what order, what things can happen at the same time, and which things really should be kept separate, those begin to construct a narrative structure such that we can plot out how we get from point A to point Z, translate that into our spell work, and thus we are that much closer to making our success inevitable. So let's break it down even further. Now, we know that for some issues, let's say that you have someone who comes to you with a love problem. Depending on what's going on, that person may just need a pink candle and some come-to-me oil. Everybody knows this. Just about everybody has done this. However, as we know, for every person that just needs a pink candle and a bottle of come-to-me oil, there's going to be at least three that are going to need more than that or different than that, depending on the situation and what the client's ultimate goals are. You may need to engage in uncrossing to remove blockages to love and relationships. You may need reconciliation work if there's been a separation that the client wishes to repair. You may need something like fire of love if passion has been lacking. Or you may need something like stay with me or marriage if the client is ultimately looking to create a long-term socially recognized relationship. Again, you can't separate your methods from what your ultimate destination is. Likewise, you're also going to need to know if a combination of things are needed, what order to do things in. For example, you probably want to do uncrossing before you start the attraction work. Mm-hmm. Likewise, you also need to know what steps can maybe be combined with each other. Do you really need a separate working for come to me, love me, stay with me? Maybe not. You might be able to combine those three together and save yourself some work and simplify the overall working itself because, yeah, there may be 20 different steps, but that doesn't mean that you need to do 20 different workings. And when you're dealing with complex situations, that's important because ultimately a working that cannot be accomplished because it is too convoluted and difficult is not going to lead you to success. Okay. So to just kind of talk about what we will be talking about this hour, we're going to look at how we're going to analyze a case to identify which conditions we need to target. We're going to talk about how we then organize that into a blend or a set of blend of materia that will move matters smoothly from where they are right now to where we want them to be. And last but not least, we're going to talk about what we need to look out for in the process. So I'm actually going to start with the last question first, what we need to look out for, because there are going to be some common pitfalls when we start moving into cases that are more complex than, oh, I just need to do some attraction work for more money, for example, or I just need to do some steady work to get a job. Number one, we need to size up the situation honestly. Is this a long-standing deficit, in which case we may need to do more? Or is it just a recent wobble, in which case, yeah, maybe that pink candle and the come-to-me oil and you're good to go. You need to know the difference. What has the client tried up to this point? Have they exhausted all of the practical measures at their disposal? Or are they really kind of just you know, they just had a recent breakup. They're still kind of shook about it, and they're still trying to figure out what it is that they want from this thing. Likewise, we need to ask, are there third parties involved? Most situations don't exist in isolation. There may be a history, there may be multiple moving parts, and if we want our work to be successful, we need to take those into account. Okay. So we also need to, along with all this, select which conditions we need to address. Maybe there's a well-defined area that's having problems. Great. That makes our life and our work easier. But the client may have multiple issues where they're experiencing some deficits, or as a teacher of mine once described it, multiple areas of non-accumulation. It may be a case where the client is coming to you and say, I don't know what the hell's going on, but everything in my life has just turned to sugar, honey, iced tea. So again, knowing what we're addressing, how many things we're addressing, and as I'm getting into the later of it, making sure that whatever it is that we're addressing, whatever materials we're using, that we're deploying those materials in a sensible and effective way. Everybody's done something that I would file under the category of kitchen sink conjure, where you throw everything in the kitchen sink at whatever it is, and you hope that something works. Often,
you can hear the chuckles in the background because we really know that.
Yes, we've all been there. We all know our clients have been there, and we hope that tomorrow is not the day when we go there again. And why do we say that? It's because kitchen sink conjure often just makes a mess, and it doesn't yield our desired results. Complex situations may require multiple types of intervention, but not necessarily all at the same time or all together. It's important to know what things can be combined and which things maybe shouldn't be. It is perfectly reasonable to boost your business by combining look me over, money drawing, money stay with me, and prosperity. I don't think you'll find anyone out there who will argue that that is, you know, a poor, ill-conceived, or ineffective blend. You might want to try it. But if you're wading into a situation that involves a love triangle, and maybe you're thinking, I don't know why you'd be thinking this, but I will say maybe you're thinking that what you really need to do is make a combination of breakup, separation, come to me, and stay with me. Well, I hate to tell you, that's probably not going to work so well. At best, it's going to be self-neutralizing. And at worst, it's just going to make a bigger mess for you to clean up later. So all of that is to say, you need to pay attention to the actual situation, the parties involved, the larger context as to how things got to where they are right now. You need to be realistic and honest about what things are amenable to remedy right now, which things aren't, as well as what outcomes are realistic and which ones, well, that bird has flown. This may require some really hard but necessary assessment and editing in deciding not just what you're going to do first, but what you're going to promise as, you know, a reasonable and acceptable outcome. Finally, we're going to need to separate out those things that are not compatible with each other, work them separately, and this is the case even if ultimately all of them are under the same larger umbrella of the overall working and goals. So in the example above, where there's a love triangle and you're trying to break up one party, move one party out of the way so that the other two parties can be more formally cemented as a relationship, well, you're going to have to separate out the separation and breakup components from the come to me and stay with me components. It's going to go a lot better in as much as that situation can be better if those are under the same umbrella but kept separate. Okay. So what does this have to do with blending hoodoo oils, working in combinations, and what are the common situations where we might want to do this? Well, the answer is most of them. Love, money, success, spiritual guidance and protection, cross conditions. All of these are conditions where you're probably at some point going to want to combine types of materia. And why? Because often the combinations are going to garner greater results than each individual component by itself would be. Not only do you not want to have to do three separate workings for money drawing, money stay with me, and prosperity, the fact is you actually get added on effectiveness when you're using all three together. In some cases, just burning more candles is not better. It's just more candles. So I guess I should probably take a breath at about this point before I start diving into, common combinations. Mm-hmm. And, I guess how do you, Ms. Kat and Conjurman, what are some of the methods that you like to use as far as sizing up the situation and really looking at how you want to guide that situation to a desired outcome?
Wow. Well, you've outlined every thought I've ever had in dealing with this. I do a lot of work answering people's questions at the Lucky Mojo Forum. And I can tell you that there's a whole thread called breakup and reconciliation at the same time.
Oh, yeah.
And that thread mostly consists of moderators such as myself and Conjurman and you and other moderators, JD, moderators of the past, present, and future, telling people, stop. Don't go down this path. We get, and again, I'm not trying to mock or make fun of people who are inexperienced, but if this show reaches you before you make a mess, it would be good. Yeah. People say, well, I have a love triangle, so I made a vinegar jar and I'm putting my boyfriend, myself, and the other lady in the vinegar jar so they'll break up. Mm-hmm. And but now, oh my God, the vinegar jar, melted the paper and it's all decayed. And now how do I do this to get him to, no, you just stop before you even started that. You have to put the vinegar jar with him and the rival mm-hmm. in one spell. You cannot add a love oil to that spell. It won't work. In cooking, we sometimes say, you want to have the appetizer, the entree, and the dessert, yes. You just really have to think of the narrative of the flow in a similar way with spells. So my feeling about this is, yes, mixing all of those love oils together, mixing together money oils or money incenses or money candles or making a blend of the oils to put on candles. But I'm going to go back to the very beginning. And that is, are you under cross conditions when you start this work?
Yeah.
Because, mm-hmm. I mean, that's the basic. And so I start with a reading first. Is there cross conditions? Is there a jinx? Is there difficulty from the past? Is anyone operating from PTSD, childhood trauma, present, current trauma? Does anyone have a medical issue that needs to be dealt with before we plunge into spell casting? Mm-hmm. Now, I'm a little unusual as a reader. I've had many clients tell me, gosh, Ms. Kat, nobody ever asked me about my kidney function before. Or how my thyroid's doing. But when I'm reading cards, I'm looking to where we're going to meet that client before we even get to the spell.
Yeah.
Right? And we're going to take care of, is there a restraining order against you? Are you going to court? Do you have a lump or bump that needs to be treated? Then we go to what do you want to do? So in a way, I'm often adding a pre-spell component. Let's get this person leveled out first. That can involve spell work. It can be love uncrossing before we do love work. Mm-hmm. But once we have them at a level where they feel optimistic and not desperate, then I feel we can begin to prescribe a sequence of works. Now, there are some ways to time these works, and I'm just going to throw out a couple of them, and then I'm going to turn this over to Conjurman, to work for decrease as the moon decreases, to work for anger on Tuesday or Saturday, which are the days of Mars and Saturn, to work for increase as the sun rises, to work for love during Friday, which is Venus's day, and a communication on Wednesday, and money perhaps on Thursday. These are, and of course, the Sunday for health and so forth. These are very obvious ways to separate the spell work in time. So you can't do it all at once. And as a prescribing root doctor, I will often say, you're going to do this on Monday, this on Tuesday, and so forth, till we get through the work. And that's one way to get the client to understand that I'm not just breaking these things apart on my say-so. I'm breaking them apart so that each part of the spell can be done, and timing it, even going to planetary hours, you know, do this in an hour of Venus.
Absolutely.
That will help them get themselves together. And one more thing, and then I'll turn it over to Conjurman. Facing east for the rising sun, facing south for things you want to have be stable, facing west for things you want to go away, facing north for things you just want to die. Okay? So once we understand these directions and these timings, then we have less instances of a client saying, gee, I poured controlling oil and domination oil and destruction oil and doom oil into my honey jar. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, or red pepper. It's like we see that.
Red pepper in my honey jar. Right. So, Conjurman, how do you deal with sorting out the problem?
Yeah, I mean, I've got to say the red pepper and honey jar one is like, that's, I hear that all the time. Or, you know, someone that, like, this stems from two things. One is people not understanding the basic correspondences, like the symbolic logic behind magical working entirely. And so a lot of people aren't raised in African-American conjure. They don't come from a culture of folk magic. And so as a result, they come at it from the sort of D&D approach, as Miss Cat has called it in the past, where it's a set of laws and rules and ingredients that you sort of throw together, and there isn't actually a narrative. And so when I've interviewed professional root workers and practitioners across the world, both in America with conjure, but other folk magic, what strikes me is that there's sort of two different people that are doing professional or doing sort of magical work. They're the storytellers, and these are people who are able to create a narrative. They go, okay, this is the thing that has happened, and here's what we want to happen. And like a script writer or a storyteller, they're able to work the event or the situation from its beginning to its conclusion. And they're aware of like the intermediary steps. And so if you're in a situation where there is a love triangle, the storyteller knows that you start first with breaking up the couple that is a rival, then drawing the two people together that you want to be together, and then binding them in a loving, happy, passionate relationship at the end, and doing maybe some type of protection work so that that breakup doesn't happen to them. In other words, they've created that narrative. They've created the story because they are a storyteller. The other approach, and this is where I think people get into a problem, is the performer approach. These are people who come from maybe a theater background or a drama background, who maybe not necessarily are thinking about the script, but they're thinking about the aesthetics. So they want their candle to burn a certain way. They put everyone in a vinegar jar because they need to shake that thing up. They're not understanding, well, if you've put everybody in the vinegar jar, then you've soured everybody. They're not thinking about the narrative. They're thinking about the performance of it. And so when I talk to people who are trying to do magical work, I always tell them, plot it out. That's how I am as a person. I'm a plotter, if you will. I like to think several steps in advance. Like, okay, here's my first step. Here's my second step, my third step. So you break it down into components, into specific steps. And each step should have its own approach, its own magical solution. So if you are in a situation where you cannot find a job, you have to start. Why can't I find that job? What is stopping me? Am I crossed? Is it just the economy? Am I in the wrong industry, etc.? Once you identify that, that gives you your first step. So the first step is uncrossing your money. The first step is addressing that the economy is bad, so maybe you have to move. Addressing the fact that the industry isn't right, so you have to do some type of work to get yourself credentials for another industry. Then the next step is to find the job. So you do drawing work. Then you do work to bring in prosperity to ensure that the job that you get is prosperous and meets all your financial needs. So you start by creating a series of steps, identifying what you actually want, what is keeping you from getting what you want, and what are the steps to get you to the goal one by one. You can do it by conjuring by threes, which we've talked about in the past, or you can use other methods. But when you create the plot, when you create the plan of step one, step two, and step three, then you start to create narrative. And when you create narrative, you are symbolically telling the universe what you want to happen, and the universe responds.
I'm going to add something here, which I'm going to call tell your reader and root worker the truth.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you an example of this that occurred to me within the last 2 weeks. A woman wanted a reading. She wanted to know if her money was blocked or crossed. And I said, well, it doesn't really look so much like your money's blocked or crossed. It looks like there might be some macroeconomic problems, but no. Tell me what's going on. She goes, well, I just need more money. And I said, okay. And I said, well, I'll give you an idea for a spell for more money. And I gave her an idea for a spell. And then she goes, oh, but I forgot to tell you, I'm here illegally. I need protection from ICE. And I'm like, wait a minute. Whoa, back up. Now we need protection from ICE. Then she goes, and my job is illegal on the face of it. She was dealing drugs. So she came to me with, are my finances blocked? And I wasted a half an hour talking with her and reading cards about, are my finances blocked? Why didn't she tell the truth? Hi, I'm an illegal immigrant who's a drug dealer, and I'm having trouble right now selling my illegal drugs. What can you do to help me? That's not that I would have said, oh, that's bad, you can't do that. I would have proceeded to answer her question, but I didn't know her question until far, far into the consultation.
And this, of course, raises when we ask the question of like, what is stopping? Or like a lot of readers identify this in particular. And Ms. Kat, you can talk about this, and Lukianos as well, is when people identify what is keeping you from getting to that goal. Mm-hmm. If you lie to your reader, that's also a sign of self-sabotage. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. You're just being deceptive. And some people aren't. Let's be very honest. Sometimes people just don't know. But sometimes they are. And sometimes they like, oh, I really want to get together with this person. And I really love this person. And we're meant to be together. But they're with someone else. And then you're like, okay. And you talk to them for a little bit. And you don't realize until like 6 weeks down the line, they've never actually interacted at all. They have no connection.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, well, that's a different scenario. That's an entirely different scenario. Now, some readers and readings can reveal this and identify. So, for example, in geomancy, in the tarot, even in astrology, there's a way of identifying when a client is not being forthcoming. So, for example, the Seven of Swords is often a big giveaway. Right, that something is a little bit off there. And so there's ways of identifying that. But that's also a self-sabotaging thing. Some people aren't being deceptive. They are themselves keeping themselves from getting their goal. And as a result, they give incomplete information. They're unaware. And that itself can be a problem, which is why the reader needs to identify it as the first step in the narrative. How do we fix that? Because you're self-jinxing, self-crossing, self-sabotaging, self-blocking.
Yeah, and it is really important to note that in many of these situations, the client is going to need to do as much work on themselves as is done on the larger situation. Yeah. They go hand in hand. You cannot separate the client from the situation that they're in.
Yeah, that's such a good point. I mean, you're talking about, There's a magical symbolic narrative that you build through the building of the oils, through the works that you do. But there's also an internal narrative that has to be there on the client's part. We see this particularly in things like, it's on all work, but definitely in love. If you're doing love work, there's an element of self-narrative that has to also be built, not just in terms of self-uncrossing, but like, What are you seeking? Why are you seeking that? Like, if you keep coming to a reader for the same type of lover, that the reader can eventually help you, but at some point there needs to also be that internal work that's done. So like, there's two narratives here. The narrative that the reader builds through the madrigal work and the narrative that the person does as a type of deep psychology to address their issues.
Yeah, and it is a truism that it is much easier to achieve a goal that you can define well and that actually matches what it is that the client wants. If there is misalignment or disagreement or subterfuge, you may be having outcomes, but on the face of it, they're not going to necessarily look like what you expected. And the client may or may not actually be getting what they wanted. Mm-hmm. So I guess kind of turning to matters of love and relationship, let's talk about some combinations here.
Okay.
So, well, yeah.
I have to interrupt here. We have a client or a person in the chat who talked about wanting specific protection on the job because people in the job have put them into a freezer or messed with them somehow. And this is Gabby Cower. And I'm going to say, I'm going to address this briefly because this is not a job protection show. This is about the narrative of intention. That's what this topic is. But in that particular question can be framed that way. What I would say to you, Gabby, is first of all, we need to know, to answer you, which we're not going to do on this show, we would need to know what kind of a field you're in. Do people have desks in the same room? Are they remotely connected? Do people work on commission? You see, all of these things to answer that question have to be broken down farther. What would they be jealous of? What would it be about your promotion or your credentialing? You see, what we're trying to take is this down to the basics. Then we can talk about what kind of protection can you do if you are remotely working or if you're in the same room or if you're on a factory floor or if you're in a restaurant together. We need to know the whole story. So that's why we can't answer you exactly, Gabby. But you can call in. Next week, we're going to have a reading extravaganza. Okay, let's go back to the love stuff, okay?
Okay. So, taking a step back, we need to be aware what formulas we're working with, because some of our formulas are going to be all-purpose. Some of them are going to be more heterosexually coded, and still others are going to be tailored for same-sex relationships. For folks who are bi or pansexual, as well as for some binary folks, they may have to evaluate what type of relationship or relationships they are seeking with respect to a particular working, and they're going to need to tailor their blends accordingly. This may mean sticking to just all-purpose formulations, which are good for all types of love, or they may want to use both versions of a formula. So, for example, if they are looking for quick hookups and they don't really care whether it's a man or a woman, they might want to use both follow me girl and follow me boy. You can combine them if you're looking for both. Mm-hmm. Likewise, they may want to combine a heterosexually coded formula like come to me with a same-sex coded formula like lavender love. Again, the condition materia themselves are not meant to be a straitjacket. Some of them are more finely targeted than others. And if the desired outcome for the client is not that finely tailored, but overlaps with something that a given formula is targeted for, you can include that formula as well as corresponding variations on that formula that are targeted differently. So, again, this is another reason why sometimes combining formulas can give a better outcome than just, you know, saying, oh, well, it's either come to me or lavender love and I have to choose one. Mm-hmm. Well, no, you don't actually have to choose one.
Right. No. Or you could choose Q, which stands for queer. And exactly. Q oil covers a lot of situations, including people who are kink oriented, but heterosexual. they also will use Q oil. There's many different, these things have different ingredients in them. And this goes back, way back to the use of herbs and roots for specific things. And these are traditional. You can always ask your person who makes the oils for you, or you can look them up online. We have a site called hoodooataglance.com. All one word, hoodooataglance.com. And you can look up some of the oils and also the herbs that are used for these different situations. One of the things that I tell people is, if you are not yet having sex with someone, you've just met them, you may be only dealing with them by text, or you may be only meeting them at a coffee shop or the local laundromat or whatever, I would not go and add stay with me or stay at home oil into a formula to get them to get closer to you. Wait a bit till you actually have that which you wish to preserve, because some formulas are for attracting and some formulas are for preserving, and some don't have any kind of limitation like that on them. But the money stay with me is different than money drawing, but you can combine them if you start with money drawing and then add money stay with me as you go along. I feel like if you have no job at all, money stay with me can be used to keep from your car breaking down, or having to have great expenses. You're trying to hold on to your money while you're drawing money, but you have to be very specific in what you're asking for. Whereas if you want to get a job and draw in money, draw in sales, and have your money stay to create more prosperity, you might want to skip the money stay and just go directly from money drawing to prosperity, better business. Or you can mix them all together. But you have to be thinking about it. What Conjurman said earlier about being a plotter is kind of where I came to with this. Mm-hmm. I'm a writer. Yeah. And for many years, I was a fiction editor in the comic book industry. And you'd be surprised. Professional writers often kind of lose track of their continuity. And the editor is the person who reads it and has to say, wait a minute, we've got a continuity lapse here. We've got to go back and fix that and get it to flow correctly. I'm sure you've all seen movies where all of a sudden you wonder, oh my gosh, the kids gave that dog soap to make it look like it had rabies. Ha ha, wasn't that funny? And then someone picked up the dog and threw it out in the snow. And an hour later, we've never seen the dog again. Oh shit, did the dog die out in the snow? That was a continuity failure. We should have seen the dog and everyone embracing the dog. It would have been a resolution. People don't think ahead. Even professionals who write movies that get a 6.0 rating at IMDb can fuck up really bad like that.
Mm-hmm. That's why editors really matter. But also, and this is why a lot of professionals also check their work or their narratives with other professionals.
That's right. Also, I like to check my narrative with physical movement. In other words, am I going to light the candle first, or am I going to drink the tea first, or am I going to say the prayer first? And I go through it in my mind. What will I do and in what order? If I'm blending oils, am I just mixing them and then using them as a mixture, or am I layering them? That's right. A very different way of working if you layer the oils. Or if I use an oil and then I'm going to sprinkle herbs on it, will those be the same herbs that were in the oil, or will they be augmentative herbs that I can use as powders to roll a candle in that was already oiled? Or can I put sachet powder on to double dress the candle? Mm. That I think these things out, and you should think them out before you make a shopping list.
Yeah, and it's also useful, and I know I do this a lot. I may have a base combination of oils that I like to use for a given condition that I may add specifically another condition oil to target that base combination. So, again, going back to, money work, for example, you also... One of the things for money work is you need to think about where the money is coming from. Is it coming from employment? Is it coming from a business that you own? Are you freelancing? Does your money come from commissions? You may still be using a base combination of money drawing, money stay with me, prosperity. I mean, I would argue that those three together are probably good for just about everybody. Mm-hmm. But if you have a system for gambling and a lot of your money actually comes from your success at games of chance, you may want to target that combination with something like three jacks and a king if you're good at cards. Or you might want to add Wealthy Way if a lot of your money is coming from investments and the growth of, you know, a 401k. Likewise, you might want to add Steady Work if hourly employment is where your money is coming from in life. So again, you can have a base combination, but depending on what's going on in your life, maybe the way that you get money changes at different points in your life. Well, you can target that base combination based on what you add to it. And that would also include adding herbs that are targeted in one direction or another. So, you know, you're not limited to targeting it just using oils, for example.
Yeah, this is really important. And I'm going to say a little thing has more Lucky Mojo specific. We did a show a while back with Papa G called Don't Muddle Your Magic. It was about not blending too many oils together. And mm-hmm. I mentioned that I like to limit it to 4 oils in a 4-ounce bottle so as not to muddle your scent and therefore not muddle up your intention. So what it's nice to have is a basis that involves 3 oils, and the 4th oil is sort of the floater, the topping on the ice cream sundae. Mm-hmm. So, for instance, you mentioned gambling. Fast money can be done with fast luck, money drawing, and pay me if you feel like the casino owes you, the house owes you some money.
The house always owes you, always. Right.
Well, but it could also be like Lucky 13 if you like to play the lottery. It could be Lucky Hand Oil if you're playing, busking for tips and you're playing guitar. And a lot of women like Lady Luck, used to be the name of an old casino, the Lady Luck Casino in Las Vegas. But women often will add Lady Luck, whereas men, not so often. It's just a thing for women. So that 4th oil is kind of individualistic with you. And then again, for long-term stability, yes, money drawing, money stay with me, prosperity, wealthy way. But again, if you don't do investments, you don't need wealthy way, because that's more of an investing sort of thing. But steady work might be if you're doing contract work, you know, you have a little contracting business, you need to get those jobs one after another. And then steady work would be your 4th oil. So this is something to think about with the three basic oils that you're going to use. And then what is the 4th? How about you, Contraman? Do you have any favorites for money?
I do have favorites for money. It's fast luck, money drawing, and money stay with me, and then prosperity. So I use those 4. And then specifically, now the people will go, well, why fast luck? So fast luck also works in sort of gambling situations and whatnot, but also has a way of heating up, drawing money very, very fast. So like if you're in a situation where you need money very quickly, and that's because of what's in it, and we won't give away all the ingredients here, but if you smell it, you can tell what some of the ingredients are, and it's an ingredient that really speeds up the drawing of money. And this is one that was actually based off of, it's actually an adaptation, so my Lucky Mojo version of a similar mixture that I heard of from a worker in North Carolina who did something similar, in which she was using magnet oil. But the goal was the sort of narrative that she built was the exact same. Change of luck really quickly, draw in money, make the money stay with me, and then make it grow and be prosperous. So like that's the narrative you're building with that mixture.
That's a good one.
Absolutely.
Well, let's move on to protection, because that's another one where we want to combine and blend.
Right. So for protection, I personally like to, I mean, yeah, protection oil is a classic, but I also am mindful that where do we encounter the things that we need protection from? For a lot of us, it's going to be, I mean, I'm assuming that we've done our own wards and house protection measures, but if we're out and about in the world, the types of protection that we're going to need may include fear not to walk over evil, because even if no one is throwing for you directly, if you are out and about in the world and there's a lot of chaos going on, you're going to need some protection from that. Just being a person out in the world. Protection, as I said, I would consider that to be a core ingredient. If I am someone where I'm traveling a lot, either because, let's say, my job requires me to travel over a large area, a large region, you know, just in the course of doing my work, if my lifestyle involves a lot of travel, I'm probably going to add safe travel to that mix. Mm-hmm. Likewise, I may want to have something like Guardian Angel or Saint Michael, or even simply Blessing as part of that mix as well. Mm-hmm. So it really is going to depend on where your threats, your known threats, are coming from. But I do agree that a basic layer of protection, if you're out in the world in any capacity, is a smart thing to do.
And yeah. I would not recommend fiery wall of protection in that circumstance, because that's really more to protect you from invasion. Yeah. And if you put that on you, people won't get along. They won't like you. You'll be repellent if you put that too much on your body.
It smells very strong. Like people,
it sure does.
People smell it. They're like, what is that?
Right.
I have a mixture that's really good for like a general that I've recommended for clients in the past. And it's actually holy oil, fear not evil, and protection oil. So holy oil to bless, so that every step, and this is actually done to bless your feet. So what you do is you mix these three together: holy oil, that your feet are blessed, that every step you take leads you to holy path; fear not evil, that no evil can impact you through your feet; and protection oil to protect your path as you walk forward. And what you do is you make a cross and bless your 2 feet before you step out into the world, and every step you take shall be guarded and shielded.
That's really good. Well, let's try reversing. What's a good combo for reversing?
Well, for reversing and cross conditions, uncrossing is a classic. Reversing is a classic. I really like Jinx Killer. And sometimes adding Blockbuster to it as well, you know, depending on the nature of the obstruction or the cross condition.
I start with a basis of either uncrossing or van. If it's uncrossing, if they really have been cursed or crossed, uncrossing, Jinx Killer, those are the best. But if they're just under, you know, basic cross conditions, I often will say start with van or add that, because it's the one that will take you to the other end of this, which is changing bad luck to good. So van is kind of like a predicate. It kind of connects two ideas, and it's one of the few that does, where you start with uncrossing and Jinx Killer, and then you go to van, and then you go to good luck or something. It'll just moves it along. All right. Wow. This was really great. I hope people took notes. I know there's going to be a lot of questions in the forum coming up after this from those who watch the show. Thank you, Lukianos. This was great.
Thank you all so much. It's a pleasure.
Support for this programming is provided by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and located online at luckymojo.com, and by the Association of Independent Readers and Rootworkers, AIR, a directory of ethical and authentic conjure practitioners, located online at readersandrootworkers.org, and by Hoodoo Psychics, the first psychic line ran entirely by Hoodoo practitioners. Receive a reading with a trusted rootworker instantly. Call 1-888-4-HOODOO or visit hoodoopsychics.com. And by the Crystal Silence League, a free online prayer service of the Association of Independent Spiritual Churches, located online at crystalsilenceleague.org. And now it's time for our free spell segment with Lukianos of Lukianos.com and Baltimore, Maryland. Take it away, Lukianos.
Thank you, Papa Newt. So we've been talking about how to get to where you want to get to. So I thought what I would do is break down getting from point A to point Z when you don't know what the intervening steps are. So this is a 5-step process, and I'll give examples of combinations that you might use with each of these steps. So to create an ongoing supportive working to both open the paths to your desired destination and help you perceive and navigate those paths, I'm going to suggest that you try the following. Number one, you're going to want to get clarity and direction. This can be done through a combination of Van, Spirit Guide, Clarity, King Solomon's Wisdom. This can be worn as a personal scent. It can be used on a white candle to light the way. And this is work that should be done on an ongoing basis until you get to where you want to be, and maybe beyond that as well. Number two, you're going to want to clear away your obstacles. And that's going to involve some combination of uncrossing, jinx killer, road opener, and or blockbuster. You can use this on candles, you can use this in a bath or a series of spiritual baths, and if new obstacles appear along the way, you're going to do it again. Number three, you want to overcome inertia and support your own initiative and agency. And you're going to do this by combining formulas such as Crucible of Courage, Crown of Success, Victory, and some oils such as Power, John the Conqueror, or Queen Elizabeth, whatever feels right for you. This combination can be worn as a personal scent. It can be used again in bathing or candle work. And this too should be done on an ongoing basis because you always want to be supporting your own initiative and agency and taking action to better your situation. Number four, to proactively attract what you desire, you're going to combine things like attraction, helping hand, crown of success, and materia coded to your desired outcome. This could be for love drawing, for money drawing, for steady work. You're going to expect this part of the working is going to be the most variable. It is also going to be something where the focus may change at different points in your life. So you should expect this combination to be something that you tailor at each point to whatever your immediate goals are right now. Last but not least, step five, you're going to protect what you have along the way. This can be done with a combination of oils such as Fear Not to Walk Over Evil, Protection, Blessing, Guardian Angel. You may want to swap out one of those for Safe Travel if your lifestyle involves frequent travel or has you traveling long distances on a regular basis. And keep in mind, this will also be work that is ongoing. So it sounds like a lot, and it is a lot. But if you want your success to be inevitable, you need to pay attention to all five of these. And I think your work will benefit from it. So thank you.
Wow. All right. Those are wonderful combinations and ways of thinking about them. I'm going to add another little idea here, too, because of the reaction that was stated against Fiery Wall of Protection. It doesn't smell good to everybody. Some people like it. Some people go, ah. And the same is true of almost every oil. Not everybody likes the smell of roses. Not everyone likes the smell of lemongrass. Not everyone likes the smell of calamus or patchouli. Some of these traditional ingredients can be quite shocking to a person who's used to sort of bland artificial scents that come in commercial, you know, shampoos and things like that.
Right.
So when you find an oil that you like the scent of, you can carry that through into other work. For instance, I happen to really like the scent of Van, and Van changes bad luck to good. I discovered it as, you know, for cleaning out problems and bringing in happiness, but I still use it just for the happiness part because I really like it. There are other oils that really make me happy. Fast luck is so wonderful to me. I just enjoy it a lot. It's very, very good. And so I will add fast luck to anything just to make it smell better to me. It's just a scent that really uplifts me. So there are personal aspects, and that doesn't mean that the person who makes the oil was wrong or that you were wrong. It really is individual. Everyone has a very individual genetic signature of their own nose, the way it works, their own brain, what associations they have with things. So be prepared to play around with these. If you go into a shop like Lucky Mojo, we are very happy for you to take off the cap, smell it. And if there are two things that are like two money oils, like money house blessing versus money drawing, and you smell the one, you smell the other, go, I'm taking this one because that's the one that smells right to you.
It's also, scent is not just personal. There's also levels of it, right? It's like some smells are very, very bold and some smells are slightly subtle. And some people like those bold smells and some people like the subtle smells. So like Fiery Wall of Protection doesn't smell bad, but it is a very strong scent. Like you will smell Fiery Wall of Protection when someone is wearing it. But so is Crown of Success. Crown of Success doesn't have a subtle scent. It's quite a strong smell. Mm-hmm. It's not an unpleasant smell either. And you'll smell it. Like if someone is familiar with it, whereas Fast Luck has a slightly subtler scent. It's not as strong of it. So you're going to have these variations, which is why smelling it matters. And in fact, this is where we can link Papa G's and Lukianos' talks together with muddling. One way of layering and one way of building the narrative is through scent. And one way of muddling is by overwhelming scent. So you can smell things like, Miss Kat, you mentioned you put Fast Luck together in basically everything. There's a way of putting Fast Luck in Come to Me and Follow Me, and you can actually smell almost the narrative. Mm-hmm. You take a sniff of the layers of that smell. And this is where, if you have any sort of nose for perfumery, it can work in your benefit to use those smells in that way.
Yeah, in perfumery, we talk about the leading notes, the high notes, the finishing notes, base notes. Yeah, and that is a narrative in the perfumery, and makes a difference. And it's not just that; it can also be about the herbs that you use, whether you only want to use local, regional herbs, or whether you get herbs from all around the world. Everyone works differently. And those are all important ways to work that are.
And different important ways of building narrative.
Yes, exactly. Mango Witch said in the chat, ooh, a perfumery episode would be good. Okay, we'll take that as a piece of advice. We'll probably do one. That'd be great. Lukianos, this has been really wonderful.
This is a phenomenal topic.
Yeah, and it's really something that, as I said before, as a root doctor and a consultant, I have to educate my clients about this. So I hope I'll be sending clients to come listen to this show before they tell me what they want.
Well, thank you so much, Ms. Kat. It has been a pleasure, as always.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm supposed to be talking about the contest winner, so I'm going to do it really quick. Okay. Magic Mondays, a free Hoodoo Psychics Magic Mondays reading was given away to Oren Zeitz. And last Facebook Fridays, we had three winners who won, each of them won a Professor Porterfield author special, a deck of spells, the Sporting Life, and Hoodoo Bible Magic, plus two decks of playing cards so they could do all the spells that were mentioned in a deck of spells. And our winners were Felix Jesse, Stephen Price, and Cindy Moses. Congratulations, guys. And all the rest of you, be sure to enter these contests and get free readings and free products. Okay, take it away, Papa Newt.
Thank you, Miss Kat and Contraman. And thank you, Lukianos of Lukianos.com in Baltimore, Maryland, for being our guest this week. Next week, we'll be holding a reading extravaganza with another panel of amazing readers. Head on over to the Lucky Mojo Forum and to sign up today. Once again, we come to an end of another Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rubric Hour brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California. You can find Miss Kat by the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and Contraman at contrabandconsulting.com in Mission Viejo, California. I'm your announcer, Papa Newt, joining you from papanewt.com in Omaha, Nebraska. The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rubric Hour can be heard every week by YouTube live stream at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, and the shows are available at YouTube at youtube.com/LuckyMojoCurioCo. For all of us at Lucky Mojo, I'd like to say thank you for being here and invite you to tune in once again next week at the same time when you'll hear the familiar strains of the Memphis Jug Band playing the Jug Band Waltz. Thanks, everybody. Goodbye.
Thank you, everybody. And remember, I need your wishes, prayers, and good feelings and thoughts to get this new little reading room and Lucky Mojo shop off the ground in downtown Forestville. Our address is now on our website, and you can come down and see us sometime, but we're not quite there yet. If anybody feels like donating prayers, please do. It's a lot of work to get this new site going, and I'm really working hard on it, folks. You know, I never thought at this age in my life I'd open a new shop, but I'm doing so, and I hope to run it for many years to come. All right. Good night.
Good night, everyone.
Good night all.
Bye.